Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
19-acre Midland industrial plot advances. Resource Enterprises, LLC, is seeking to develop industrial lots in the westernmost portions of Midland. Located in an extraterritorial jurisdiction on the north side of West County Road 72, the land covers 19.13 acres. Resource Enterprises is an industrial firm based in Odessa, though the request came from their Midland offices and founded in 2010. The company hopes to plot the land into five lots and is being represented by Maverick Engineering in this pursuit. It will be bordered by other industrial parks to the west and south. Midland's Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of Resource Enterprises' request to Midland City Council, which will take the request up for consideration at a future City Council meeting. Mark Payne Housing Project set for 385 lots in North Midland. Mark Payne, a local home developer, is planning to develop a large property into a residential development in the Horseshoe Bend area of Midland. Located alongside the eastern side of North Garfield Street and covering 187.6 acres across a single lot, Payne is seeking a preliminary plot on the land to develop 385 lots. The land is currently undeveloped but will be one of many new residential developments in North Midland. This includes Woodland Park, which will be adjacent to the new development in the east. Midland's Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of Payne's request to Midland City Council. P&Z denies request to develop a duplex. Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended the denial of a request to build a duplex on land in West Midland. The land covers 0.68 acres and is adjacent to Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. The landowner and applicant is Garrett Hall, who is represented by Duran Hennington of Pinnell Land Surveying. The land is also the site of the former Woodcrest Drive Church of Christ. While the land features a small building that was being used for worship purposes, the building is intended to remain on the property but will have no further religious function. No lots have been plotted on the site. Hall hopes to plot it into four lots to develop the duplex. P&Z received one objection based on traffic concerns, but city staff believes it will not be a concern following an ingress-egress evaluation. Quote, what Hall had explained to me is that he is going to build on-site single-family homes there, end quote, Hennington said on behalf of Hall, who was out of town for the P&Z meeting. Quote, I don't know if his intent is to sell them individually or if he has people he is going to rent them out to. It's more of a mobile home size that belonged to the church at one time, end quote. One of P&Z's concerns came with a special exception request regarding the size of two of the four lots, specifically the eastern ones alongside Woodcrest Drive. Hall is looking for a reduced depth and width on the lots below the required minimum standards allowed by the zoning. Quote, the chart that was sent to us had the size requirements. It said 7,000 square feet and or the dimensions, end quote, said Hennington. Quote, we had them all at 7,000, but we didn't meet the dimensions, end quote. The second major concern was that while the property will operate on utilities on Woodcrest, the western lots, one of which includes the existing building, do not properly extend to the sewage line on Woodcrest. Hennington says that Hall plans to have the line extended accordingly, but has no idea how that process will go. Hall has declined to comment at this time when asked by Reporter Telegram. The P&Z vote was 3-3, with one commissioner abstaining from the vote. Despite the recommendation for denial, City Council is expected to consider the special exception request at a future meeting. P&Z is a recommendation body. City Council makes final decisions. Woman charged with murder and fentanyl death of 22-year-old man. Odessa. The Odessa Police Department reports an arrest has been made in connection with the death of a man in his 20s. According to OPD, 40-year-old Nicole Marie Jones has been charged with murder in the first degree. At approximately 6:48 p.m. on January 9th, officers responded to the 5000 block of Kingston Avenue in reference to a death. Upon arrival, officers observed a 22-year-old male who was unconscious and not breathing. He was pronounced deceased at the scene. When OPD detectives obtained a search warrant for the victim's phone, the investigation revealed Jones allegedly had previously sold fentanyl to the victim. Additionally, OPD stated that the investigation revealed Jones had previously been arrested for selling fentanyl and was out on bond. An autopsy report indicated the cause of death to be acute intoxication with fentanyl. Based on the facts and circumstances presented during the investigation, Jones was charged and arrested accordingly, said OPD. Ector County Jail detention records show Jones was booked January 30th, and that bail is set at $250,000. P&Z denies request to develop a duplex. Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended the denial of a request to build a duplex on land in West Midland. The land covers 0.68 acres and is adjacent to Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. The landowner and applicant is Garrett Hall, who is represented by Duran Hennington of Pinnell Land Surveying. The land is also the site of the former Woodcrest Drive Church of Christ. While the land features a small building that was being used for worship purposes, the building is intended to remain on the property but will have no further religious function. No lots have been plotted on the site. Hall hopes to plot it into four lots to develop the duplex. P&Z received one objection based on traffic concerns, but city staff believes it will not be a concern following an ingress-egress evaluation. Quote, what Hall had explained to me is that he is going to build on-site single-family homes there, end quote, Hennington said on behalf of Hall, who was out of town for the P&Z meeting. Quote, I don't know if his intent is to sell them individually or if he has people he is going to rent them out to. It's more of a mobile home size that belonged to the church at one time, end quote. One of P&Z's concerns came with a special exception request regarding the size of two of the four lots, specifically the eastern ones alongside Woodcrest Drive. Hall is looking for a reduced depth and width on the lots, below the required minimum standards allowed by the zoning. Quote, the chart that was sent to us had the size requirements. It said 7,000 square feet and or the dimensions, end quote, said Hennington. Quote, we had them all at 7,000, but we didn't meet the dimensions, end quote. The second major concern was that while the property will operate on utilities on Woodcrest, the western lots, one of which includes the existing building, do not properly extend to the sewage line on Woodcrest. Hennington says that Hall plans to have the line extended accordingly, but has no idea how that process will go. Hall has declined to comment at this time when asked by Reporter Telegram. The P&Z vote was 3-3, with one commissioner abstaining from the vote. Despite the recommendation for denial, City Council is expected to consider the special exception request at a future meeting. P&Z is a recommendation body. City Council makes final decisions. Texas DPS ramps up enforcement statewide. The Texas Department of Public Safety is reminding football fans and anyone out on the roads to drive responsibly during this Super Bowl weekend. As the Seattle Seahawks and New England Patriots compete for the Lombardi Trophy on Sunday, February 8th, DPS says it will be increasing enforcement efforts statewide to ensure everyone has a safe Super Bowl weekend. Quote, DPS is rooting for a great game and safe roadways across Texas this Sunday, end quote, said Texas Highway Patrol Chief Brian Rippey. Quote, with increased enforcement and a strong trooper presence statewide, our focus is on preventing impaired driving, speeding, and other dangerous behaviors so everyone can enjoy the game and then make it home safely. Additionally, DPS will increase patrols throughout the day on February 8th from 12:01 a.m. until midnight as part of the nationwide CARE, Crash Awareness and Reduction Effort, initiative. Troopers will be looking for drivers who violate the law, including those who are speeding, driving under the influence, and people who are not wearing their seatbelts. During last year's 2024 Super Bowl enforcement initiative, DPS troopers recorded issuing more than 1,300 citations and nearly 3,900 warnings. Troopers also made 50 arrests for driving while intoxicated, 31 felony arrests, and 12 fugitive arrests statewide. DPS shared the following tips for Super Bowl Sunday. Don't drink and drive. If you plan to have alcohol at a place other than your home, designate someone else to drive or take alternate transportation. Buckle up. By law, everyone in this vehicle should be wearing a seatbelt. Move over or slow down for police, fire, EMS, Texas Department of Transportation, TxDOT, vehicles, and tow trucks stopped on the side of the road with emergency lights activated. Show the same courtesy to fellow drivers who are stopped. Slow down, especially in bad weather, heavy traffic, unfamiliar areas, or construction zones. Eliminate distractions while driving, including the use of mobile devices. Texas law prohibits the use of portable wireless devices to read, write, or send an electronic message unless the vehicle is stopped. Also, if you're using a navigation device or app, have a passenger operate it so you can keep your eyes on the road. Steer it, clear it. If you are involved in a non-injury crash and your vehicle can be moved, clear the traffic lanes. On some highways, if you don't move your vehicle when it's safe to do so, it's against the law. Don't drive fatigued. Allow plenty of time to reach your destination. DPS also reminds Texans about the iWatch Texas program, a resource for reporting suspicious activity within the community to help prevent dangerous attacks. It's important to be vigilant as people gather for large events. Tips can be reported via the website, the free iWatch iOS or Android mobile app, or by calling 844-643-2251. All reports are confidential. iWatch Texas is not for emergencies. If there is an emergency, call 911 immediately. West Texas Business Expo is set to return Midland. Businesses from throughout West Texas will be heading to downtown Midland for the Midland Chamber of Commerce's West Texas Business Expo. The regional event, presented by Sewell BMW of the Permian Basin, will be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. February 19th at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street. It is designed to bring together businesses from across West Texas and the Permian Basin for a full day of networking, discovery, and education. Quote, this is the first business expo hosted by the Midland Chamber in about a decade. The Chamber previously held an annual expo until it was time to pivot programming. With Midland's continued growth, the Chamber is excited to bring the expo back, end quote. Elaine Paulson, Vice President of Chamber Relations, told the Reporter Telegram, the ultimate goal of the expo is to connect both new and established businesses with the local customer base. Midland is experiencing significant growth, and the expo provides an opportunity for the community to learn about the wide range of businesses and services available in the region, she added. More than 70 exhibitors have registered representing industries including energy, security, financial services, professional services, banking, technology, and more. Exhibitors are encouraged to host games and giveaways and participate in educational breakout sessions. Those breakout sessions will cover a diverse set of topics tailored to West Texas businesses, from how to navigate businesses, taxes, or the right insurance coverage to business, banking, and marketing tools. Organizers have designed the event to foster meaningful connections, empowering exhibitors to turn conversations into customers by engaging directly with local consumers, professionals, and decision makers. Quote, the Midland Chamber's casting a wide promotional net to encourage the public to attend. With free admission to the public, the West Texas Business Expo is intentionally designed to drive strong attendance and real engagement, end quote, Paulson said. General admission is free, and additional perks include free Domino's pizza provided by Team Guerrerti, free coffee provided by Meridian Craft Supply, and the first 500 attendees will receive a free branded event bag. Students at Legacy High School job shadow hotel professionals. Legacy High School students in the event/meeting planning class recently had the opportunity to job shadow hotel professionals, receiving hands-on experience in the hospitality industry. On Monday, hotels across the state partnered with the Texas Hotel and Lodging Association to host high school students for Groundhog Job Shadow Day, an initiative designed to connect students with real-world hospitality career experiences. Students in the event/meeting planning class led by Stacy Patton Payne job shadowed hotel professionals in departments such as front desk, housekeeping, food and beverage, engineering, and sales and events. Quote, this job shadowing event was such a great experience, end quote, said junior Michaela Cheriz. Quote, I was impressed by all the different jobs that go into running a hospitality business, end quote. Spring Hill Suites, Hampton Inn, and Insignia's corporate office opened their doors to students, giving them insight into daily operations, teamwork, and career opportunities. Quote, all of the team members were so professional with such a strong work ethic, end quote, said senior Mandy Reyes. Quote, the job shadowing made me even more interested in pursuing a career in this field, end quote. Hotel leaders emphasized the value of mentorship and workforce development, noting that today's students are tomorrow's general managers, chefs, and hospitality innovators. This is the Midland Reporter Telegram weekend edition for Saturday, February 7th, 2026. Clearing warrants on holiday urged. Valentine's Day special about humor, but also a reminder. Roses wilt, chocolate melts, but most importantly, warrants don't disappear.
That's the message from the Midland County Warrant Services as it gets ready for its, quote, Valentine's Day special, end quote. The whole purpose of the special is to bring humor to outstanding warrants, but also to remind people to take care of them in a timely fashion. Sergeant Jorge Martinez said, quote, our office is clearing up 200 warrants a month. However, we are still at about 13,000 warrants, give or take, end quote. Warrant Services said on social media that the special Valentine's Day offer includes, quote, free transportation, secure accommodations, a free dinner, a very special set of bracelets, and a complimentary photo, end quote. If residents want to report their ex-Valentine, then Warrant Services advises, quote, call us at 432-688-4700 with their location and we'll handle the rest, end quote. Martinez said that last year about 21 people called in to report their ex-Valentine. Quote, it's kind of a cat and mouse game, end quote, Martinez explained. Quote, a lot of people who come here, we don't have information on where they work or live. We do give them the opportunity here to take care of it, and our investigators will work with them, end quote. Martinez also said residents can make arrangements with warrant services and that, unfortunately, even if they are stopped by law enforcement with an active warrant, those same options to resolve the warrant may not be available. Quote, other law enforcement cannot work with you, end quote, Martinez said. Quote, the best thing is to call into our main lines at Warrant Services and our clerks can tell them who the investigator is assigned to their case. The last resort is incarceration, end quote. Martinez also emphasized that residents can go to the Midland County website and search for any active warrants to get them resolved. Quote, they can go to the Midland County webpage and type in their last name and date of birth, end quote, he said. Quote, if they do have a hardship, then let us know and we can work with them to get the warrant resolved, end quote.
Sheriff, no racial profiling grievance in 2025. The Midland County Sheriff's Office gave its annual race profiling report to county commissioners on Tuesday, which shows deputies didn't receive any complaints of racial profiling in 2025. There was no discussion on this agenda item. The annual report records stops by the Sheriff's Office from January 1st until December 31st, 2025. The report is prepared for submission to TCOLE, the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. The mission of TCOLE as a regulatory state agency, quote, is to establish and enforce standards to ensure that the people of Texas are served by highly trained and ethical law enforcement, corrections, and telecommunications personnel, end quote. MCSO has adopted a detailed written policy prohibiting its peace officers from engaging in racial profiling. Zero incidents were reported for racial profiling complaints. Also, no incidents of physical force resulting in bodily injury were recorded as used during stops by the MCSO. The data indicates that prior to a stop being made, only two stops were made where the race or the ethnicity of the individual was known beforehand. The data also indicates that about 64% of the stops made by MCSO deputies were Hispanic or Latino, 1,532. Second in the report was individuals listed as white, 701, and third was black, 153. Another data indicator was the difference between the number of females that were stopped, 604, and the number of males, 1,801. However, within the gender breakdown, Hispanic/Latin race was still recorded the most with 360 stops for females and 1,172 stops for males. Here is the data directly from the report. Total traffic stops, 2,405. Location of stops, city streets, 323. County roads, 1,747. State highways, 335. U.S. highways and private property, 0. Was race/ethnicity known before stop? Yes, 2. No, 2,403. Driver race/ethnicity breakdown. Hispanic/Latino, 1,532. White, 701. Black, 153. Asian/Pacific Islander, 17. American Indian/Alaska Native, 2. Gender breakdown. Male, 1,801. Female, 604. Reasons for stop. Moving traffic violations, 1,232. Vehicle equipment violations, 809. Other violations of law, 346. Pre-existing knowledge, 18. Searches. Searches conducted, 97. Searches not conducted, 2,308. By race, most conducted on Hispanic/Latino, 56, and white, 31. Reasons for search. Consent, 32. Probable cause, 36. Inventory, 14. Incident to arrest, 15. Contraband, found in 44 searches, not found in 53 searches. 30 instances of contraband were drugs, 21 found on Hispanic/Latino individuals, 8 found on white individuals, and 1 found on a black individual. Outcomes of stops: written warnings, 1,770, citations, 565, warning and arrest, 58, citation and arrest, 12, verbal warnings, 0. Reasons for arrest: outstanding warrants, 46, penal code violations, 22, traffic law violations, 2, city ordinance violations, 0. Use of force: no physical force resulting in bodily injury was reported in any stop. Racial profiling complaints: total complaints, 0, disciplinary action, 0. Columbarium added at Fairview Cemetery. County to offer option of honoring loved ones who have been cremated. Midland County plans to expand services at Fairview Cemetery via the addition of a newly installed columbarium. What is a columbarium? It's a permanent structure designed to hold cremation urns within individual compartments, known as niches. The structure will provide families with an affordable option to honor loved ones who have been cremated, county officials said. Quote, the columbarium allows families a meaningful place of remembrance that is both permanent and accessible, end quote, said Fairview Cemetery Director David Sapp. Quote, this is an important addition to Fairview Cemetery and reflects our commitment to serving families with professionalism, compassion, and affordability, end quote. Columbarium niches are available for purchase at a cost of $950, with a $250 fee due at the time of inurnment. Reservations are not transferable without prior notice and approval. There is a requirement that all niche openings and inurnments be performed by Fairview Cemetery staff and will require proper documentation, including a certificate of cremation. Engraving is required for all niches and is limited to the individual's name and dates of birth and death. Each niche at Fairview Cemetery may accommodate up to 2 urns containing human remains, cremains, end quote, said county officials. Quote, Fairview Cemetery columbarium policies ensure consistency, care, and respect for all families served, end quote. In order to preserve the appearance and integrity of the columbarium, artificial decorations are prohibited. Additionally, there are limited allowances for live flowers in accordance with cemetery policies. Quote, Fairview Cemetery is a vital public service, and the addition of the columbarium ensures families have an affordable, respectful options to memorialize their loved ones, end quote, said Midland County Judge Terry Johnson. Families interested in purchasing a niche or learning about more about the Fairview Cemetery columbarium are encouraged to contact Fairview Cemetery directly. Cemetery staff are available to answer questions, explain policies, and assist families through the process. Community. Emotional impact in D.C. SA Photographer's Portrait of Uvalde Parents in National Portrait Gallery. San Antonio. Photographer Al Rendon has never been big on contests. Quote, I don't enter contests usually, end quote, Rendon said, chuckling. Quote, I don't feel like photography is a competition, end quote. The exception is the National Portrait Gallery's Outwin Buchever Portrait Competition, which spotlights works in a broad range of media. It takes place every 3 years and accepts a single entry from each artist who takes part. Rendon, 69, has entered a few times at the urging of a friend, but he never made the cut. That changed this year. Quote, when will it stop, end quote, is a photograph he took of Javier and Gloria Cesares standing in their daughter Jackie's bedroom. Jackie was one of the children killed in the 2022 Robb Elementary School mass shooting in Uvalde. In the photo, her parents wear T-shirts depicting her as an angel. The photo is on display through August 30th at the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. It is part of, quote, the Outwin 2025 American Portraiture Today, end quote, an exhibit of the 34 winning portraits culled from more than 3,300 submissions. At the reception for the exhibit, Rendon said, several people got emotional looking at the photograph. Quote, to me, it's a major milestone in my career as a photographer and as an artist, end quote, he said. Quote, and I just feel very honored, end quote. Rendon has been a photographer most of his life. He started shooting professionally in 1973 when he was a sophomore at Central Catholic High School and snapped some images of a Led Zeppelin show at the old Hemisphere Arena. He shot many more concerts in the years that followed. Besides capturing rock superstars such as Mick Jagger and U2 in action, he snapped portraits of all kinds of Tejano and Conjunto performers. He started photographing Selena early in her career and eventually took the images that were used for the cover of her 1992 album, quote, Entre a mi mundo, end quote. A black and white photo of the late Tejano Queen is one of a handful of his photographs acquired by the National Portrait Gallery. Its collection also includes images Rendon created of Conjunto legend Flaco Jimenez, writer Sandra Cisneros, and Chicano scholar Tomas Ibarra Frausto, and his partner Dudley Brooks. He has captured charretas, murals, and tattoos depicting Our Lady of Guadalupe and all sorts of other depictions of the city's Mexican-American culture. Some of that work, including the image now hanging in the National Portrait Gallery, was collected in, quote, Mi Cultura, Bringing Shadows into the Light, the Photography of Al Rendon, end quote. The book was a companion to a retrospective of his work that was on display at the Witt Museum in 2023 and 2024. Rendon considers himself semi-retired, though he still does commercial work here and there for some longtime clients. He plans to photograph Fiesta, though not as expansively as he once did. This year, he will be using his camera to capture the Battle of Flowers Parade and the King William Fair. Quote, those two things are enough, end quote, he said. Quote, I used to cover Fiesta from top to bottom for 10, 15 years back in the 80s, 90s. I used to be like a jack-in-the-box, able to get down and jump up, but can't do that no more, end quote. He is also spending time these days organizing his archives, collected in dozens upon dozens of thick binders in his Beacon Hill office. He hopes to donate his work to an institution eventually. It's been fulfilling looking at what he's achieved with his cameras, he said. Quote, growing up Mexican-American here, I photographed all kinds of things that have to do with the city and with attractions and events, but at the same time, trying to keep my foot in my Mexican culture and photographing all the different things that happen here culturally, end quote, he said. Quote, I've got very fortunate to work with the Fiesta Commission for 10 years. I worked for the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center for 10, 15 years, worked with all these different organizations. So I built up quite an archive of stuff from doing that, end quote. He's still adding to it. For the past 3 or 4 years, he's been documenting lowrider clubs across the state. Some of that work was featured in the 2024 exhibit, quote, Carros y Cultura, Lowriding Legacies in Texas, end quote, at the Bob Bullock Texas State History Museum in Austin. Quote, Latinos on Wheels, end quote, an exhibit drawn from the project, will be on display at the Ellen Newell Art Museum in Odessa, August 6th through November 29th. Quote, I don't see myself ever stopping taking pictures, end quote, he said. Quote, but at the same time, I want to be more selective in what I do and not have to work 9 to 5 every day like I used to for the last over 50 years. You talk to any artist and eventually you get to a point where you don't want to start repeating yourself. You don't want to start just doing it to do it, hoping you have inspiration, end quote. Snacking smarter during Super Bowl watch parties. Super Bowl Sunday will bring watch parties with overflowing snack tables and familiar lineups of wings, chips, and dip. But those and other game day foods aren't the most healthful. They tend to be high in sodium, fat, and calories, which can make it harder to stop eating them once you start. For people managing conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease, that combination can push eating habits in the wrong direction. But fear not, there are ways to snack smarter on Sunday. Here's what to know. Lay off the salt. Saying no to salt is hard, considering how good it tastes. But eating too much sodium, one of the main ingredients in salt, can be dangerous. That matters on Super Bowl Sunday when high-sodium foods are everywhere. 1 ounce of potato chips, or about 11 to 18 chips, for example, has about 148 milligrams of sodium, according to the Dallas-based American Heart Association. That comes out to about 6% of the daily recommended amount for adults of 2,300 milligrams. For most adults, especially those with high blood pressure, less than 1,500 milligrams a day is ideal. Most Americans far exceed that number, consuming more than 3,300 milligrams a day, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Over time, exceeding sodium can make the heart work harder to pump blood. Within about 30 minutes of high-sodium meal, the blood vessel's ability to dilate can be impaired, which can affect blood pressure. Excess salt can also threaten the brain by raising blood pressure and a person's risk for stroke, not to mention potentially strain and damage the kidneys, according to the American Heart Association. Drink responsibly. Enjoying a cold one during the game is a time-honored tradition, but moderation matters. For beer, that generally means 1 to 2 12-ounce servings a day for men and 1 12-ounce serving a day for women. Quote, try to pace yourself, end quote, Dr. Bethany Agulasa, an assistant professor of internal medicine at Dallas's UT Southwestern Medical Center, said in a 2025 news release. Quote, if you drink alcohol at the party, alternate with water and be mindful that alcohol can impact your food choices, metabolism, and sleep later that night. So think about that before you choose your beverages, end quote. Studies have linked heavier drinking, whether beer or other alcohol, to a higher risk of obesity, some cancers such as breast cancer, and heart disease, including stroke and high blood pressure. Build a balanced plate. Agusala recommends slowing down when eating and paying attention to when your brain tells you to stop. It could also help to build a plate with a variety of foods. Quote, it's best to eat foods at these parties where you're combining carbohydrates with sources of protein and healthy fats, end quote, Agusala said. A balanced spread might include protein options like beans, chicken, or fish, paired with vegetables or whole grains, she said. Healthful fats can come from foods like avocados, olive oil, fish, or small amounts of unsalted nuts. If you're an otherwise healthful eater, it's okay to indulge in a Super Bowl treat as long as you don't overdo it. Quote, I often tell my patients we are trying to build healthy eating patterns, including a healthy relationship with food, and not follow a diet, end quote, Agusala said. Quote, eating celebratory meals with family and friends is a part of that pattern and not overly restrictive, end quote. Turning Point Plan's Halftime Alternative. There are culture war moments that arrive with a bang, and then there are the ones that arrive like a polite cough from the other room. Turning Point USA's newly announced, quote, All-American Halftime Show, end quote, time to run opposite the Super Bowl halftime performance by Bad Bunny, feels like the latter, a spectacle that prompts a collective, huh? The conservative political group founded by Charlie Kirk announced Monday that Kid Rock, Brantley Gilbert, Lee Bryce, and American Idol alum Gabby Barrett will headline its alternative halftime broadcast on Super Bowl Sunday. The show, billed as, quote, family-friendly, end quote, and, quote, values-driven, end quote, is positioned as counter-programming to the NFL's official halftime show, which will feature Puerto Rican superstar Bad Bunny. A halftime protest minus the protest energy. When the NFL revealed Bad Bunny as the Super Bowl halftime headliner back in October, the backlash from conservative figures was swift and loud. The Grammy-winning reggaeton star, performed primarily in Spanish, has criticized Trump-era immigration policies and has made his politics visible and unsubtle. For opponents, that was enough to frame his performance as, quote, anti-American, end quote, even as he remains one of the most streamed artists on the planet. Turning Point USA's response was to promise an alternative, a simultaneous concert celebrating, quote, faith, family, and freedom, end quote. Months later, the reveal landed. Trump allies were enthusiastic. Senator Tommy Tuberville suggested NFL Commissioner Roger, quote, woke, end quote, Goodell should, quote, take notes, end quote. While Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth jokingly asked if his, quote, Department of War, end quote, could get involved. Who Bad Bunny is and why this matters. For context, Bad Bunny isn't some fringe provocateur parachuted into America's biggest sporting event. He's a Puerto Rican artist who has sold out stadiums worldwide, topped Billboard charts repeatedly, and reshaped how Spanish language music moves through mainstream pop culture. His Super Bowl booking aligns neatly with the NFL's ongoing push to court younger, more global audiences. The Super Bowl broadcast will also feature Green Day during opening festivities, a band that recently tweaked the lyrics to American Idiot to distance itself from MAGA politics. The halftime alternative seems like an effort to assert a different version of who gets to represent America on the biggest stage possible. How to watch, if you're curious. The Super Bowl game will air Sunday with kickoff scheduled for 5:30 p.m. Central on CBS, with streaming available via Paramount Plus and other NFL-supported platforms. Turning Point USA's All-American Halftime Show is scheduled to begin around 7 p.m. Central on Trinity Broadcasting Network. It will also stream across Turning Point USA's social channels, including YouTube, X, and Rumble, as well as outlets like Daily Wire Plus, OAN, and Real America's Voice. For all the buildup, this may be less a showdown than a shrug-off. Bad Bunny will perform to a global audience of more than 100 million. Turning Point USA will broadcast its counter event to those who actively seek it out.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, February 9th. Massive Basin Power Project drives AI revolution. GW Ranch south of Fort Stockton is nation's biggest. The story was written by Bob Campbell. Helping to supply the nation's voracious appetite for power for artificial intelligence and data centers, Pacifico Energy's 7.65 gigawatt GW Ranch, 33 miles south of Fort Stockton, is the biggest power project in the United States. One of the 11 natural gas-powered electrical generation plants in Texas, with 102 being in the pre-construction stage, the GW Ranch will need from 1 to 2 billion cubic feet per day of gas. Pacifico Energy is based in San Juan Capistrano, California. The Permian Basin Petroleum and Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Associations say it is revolutionary. PBPA President Ben Shepard said natural gas continues to serve as the most reliable electric generation available, and the work being done in this project is the largest he has seen to date. Quote, industry is doing all it can to ensure it has access to abundant and affordable natural gas as its preference, and all consumers should be encouraging their states and regulators to do the same, Shepard said. It is no surprise that these large-scale AI data centers want surety for their power needs, and communities in Texas and New Mexico should be clamoring for the same. This project is only one of hundreds that seek to develop off-grid solutions to on-grid challenges, and we certainly hope that there continues to be growth in the wholesale generation market that ensures reliable and affordable natural gas power for residential and small business consumers as well. TIPRO President Ed Longenecker says this development represents another significant step in addressing the unprecedented energy demands driven by the rapid expansion of AI and hyperscale data centers. Quote, Pacifico Energy's GW Ranch is a private grid power generation campus in Pecos County, West Texas, purposely built to deliver reliable, scalable power directly to on-site data centers without burdening the ERCOT grid or increasing costs for Texas consumers, Longenecker said. With its recently secured Texas Commission on Environmental Quality air permit, the largest of its kind in the U.S., the project is authorized for up to 7.65 gigawatts of natural gas power generation. Quote, this positions GW Ranch as the largest permitted power for AI campus in the country, with exceptional reliability and flexibility through phased deployment, end quote. He said first power is targeted for the first half of 2027, with a clear pathway to scale beyond 5 gigawatts of delivered capacity. Quote, AI and data center growth is accelerating dramatically, demanding massive, always-on baseload power that must be available at unprecedented density, speed, and reliability, Longenecker said. Natural gas serves as the essential backbone, abundantly available and fully dispatchable to meet 24/7 demands. Quote, at full build-out, GW Ranch could consume 1.2 billion cubic feet of gas per day, highlighting the indispensable role of domestic natural gas in powering America's AI leadership, technological competitiveness, and energy security, end quote. He said this project is part of a broader trend in Texas where significant interest in gas-powered solutions for data centers continues to grow. Quote, GW Ranch is leveraging Texas's unique advantages, including a supportive regulatory environment and strategic proximity to abundant supplies for unmatched reliability and optionality, Longenecker said. Projects like GW Ranch are vital to enabling the next wave of AI innovation, while harnessing America's abundant natural gas supplies to enhance energy security, stimulate economic growth in West Texas, and ensure the U.S. remains at the forefront of innovation. Natural gas is the critical enabler, providing the reliable, high-volume power foundation that AI-driven growth requires today and into the future, end quote. Texas Tech University Health Science Center, Permian Basin, announces pediatric residency program gift. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, or TTUHSC, Permian Basin, along with the Permian Strategic Partnership and the Scarborough Foundation, announced a gift on Thursday that will fund a new pediatric residency. Together, a $4.3 million gift from the Permian Strategic Partnership, $3.5 million from the Scarborough Foundation, and a $7.9 million commitment from TTUHSC will enable local pediatric training while helping build and retain a strong workforce of pediatricians to serve the region's children and families, a news release said. The residency program will address a critical healthcare shortage of pediatric and pediatric subspecialists in the Permian Basin. Currently, families often must travel outside the Permian Basin to seek care and face long wait times to see a provider. Quote, "The foundation of healthy and thriving communities is having access to health care for our community's most vulnerable populations, our children," TTUHSC President Lori Rice Spearman, Ph.D., said. Quote, "TTUHSC is committed to training more physicians to serve the rural regions of the state that have the greatest need, and the TTUHSC Pediatric Residency Program is essential to create a sustainable pipeline of care for the youth of the Permian Basin," end quote. This program will allow Texas Tech physicians, the clinical practice of TTUHSC, to grow the workforce the region needs. Quote, "We know physicians are more likely to remain in the area where they complete their residency training," Rice Spearman said. "The Permian Basin will see more pediatric providers as they complete their residencies, and we feel confident that many of them will remain in the region to provide the expert-driven care you have come to expect from providers at Texas Tech Physicians," end quote. The pediatric residency program's official start date is July 1, 2028. By 2030, the program is projected to support 12 pediatric residents per year. Quote, "Scarborough Foundation is proud to support the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center Pediatric Residency Program," CEO and President Mary Ann Beninati of the Scarborough Foundation said. Continuing the quote, "This program represents a step toward addressing the critical need for pediatric care in the Permian Basin by bringing in additional pediatricians and pediatric specialists to Midland. These physicians will serve the community while training the next generation of doctors. This new program addresses a gap in care for our young population and allows business owners the peace of mind to recruit families to Midland," end quote. In addition to general pediatrician training, the program will also provide training for specialties such as neonatology, pediatric endocrinology, and pediatric behavioral and mental health. Quote, "The Permian Basin Strategic Partnership is focused on creating and maintaining quality of life in this vital region," President and CEO of the Permian Strategic Partnership, Tracy Bentley, said. Continuing the quote, we must ensure we have consistent and accessible health care for children and their families. This is why partnering with Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center on the creation of a pediatric residency is critically important. As more young families continue to grow and raise their families here, we want to make sure we have the healthcare professionals they need right here in the Permian, end quote. Rice Spearman said, quote, together, we are not just meeting needs today in the Permian Basin, but also building the foundation for tomorrow, end quote. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Ash Wednesday. On Ash Wednesday, February 18th, at 6 p.m., seven churches will join together to begin the season of Lent with an Ash Wednesday worship service at Highland United Methodist Church at 1808 Dixie Street in Odessa. In the Christian tradition, Lent is a time for preparation for the celebration of Easter. For centuries, Christians have received a cross of ashes on Ash Wednesday. It is a tangible reminder of God's mercy given for all people through Jesus Christ. The churches hosting the service include Connection Christian, Bethany Christian, First Presbyterian, Westminster Presbyterian, Christ Lutheran, Highland United Methodist Church, and Mackey Chapel United Methodist Churches. A combined choir of each church's singers will help lead worship. All are invited to this inclusive ecumenical worship opportunity. The United Way of Odessa annual meeting will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. February 17th in the Odessa Regional Medical Center Auditorium at 520 East 6th Street. The United Way Board of Directors will present the outcomes from the 2025 campaign, including partner agency allocations, campaign funding, and successes. Awards will also be given to volunteers, businesses, and community members who contributed time and monetary donations to the United Way of Odessa in 2025. This event is free and open to the public. To reserve a seat, call the United Way of Odessa office at 432-332-0941 or email kgambrill@unitedwayodessa.org. Aphasia event. Delicious chocolate, iconic music, and a mission that speaks volumes are coming together in a big way this year as the Aphasia Center of West Texas hosts its 2026 fundraising event, Talk of the Town. Longtime supporters will recognize the fan-favorite Chocolate Decadence event, known for offering specialty chocolates you simply can't find anywhere else. The other event usually involves a concert paying homage to a specific genre or artist. This year, guests won't have to choose between indulging their sweet tooth and enjoying live entertainment. They'll get both at once. Providing the soundtrack for the night will be the renowned Michael Jackson tribute band, Mamas, known for bringing the King of Pop's greatest hits to life. The night will also include a live auction to benefit the Aphasia Center of West Texas, so come ready to bid on unique items and experiences while supporting a great cause. For more information on Aphasia and the Aphasia Center of West Texas, visit their website or give them a call. Talk of the Town is scheduled for April 24th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in downtown Odessa. Tickets are available at aphasiawtx.org. Movie Club. The Bush Family Home State Historic Site announced a new movie club program beginning January 2026. The Movie Club will operate on a four-movie run with each iteration focusing on a different topic relevant to the 1950s and the Bush family. The first theme is 1950s Best Picture winners from the Oscars. Each meeting will be held on the last Saturday of each month, except March, with the following dates. On February 28th, Around the World in 80 Days, from 1956. On March 21st, Bridge on the River Kwai, from 1957. On April 25th, Ben-Hur, from 1959. Joining the movie club is free. Those interested are encouraged but not required to email bushfamilyhome@thc.texas.gov. Members of the movie club are expected to watch each movie on their own before attending each meeting. Each meeting will begin at 1 p.m. in the Visitor Center. The Bush Family Home State Historic Site is located at 1412 West Ohio Street in Midland. The hours for the home are Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The last tour begins at 4:15 p.m. The Bush Family Home joined the Texas Historical Commission in 2023 and is one of 41 sites in the state of Texas. Learn more at visitbushfamilyhome.com. Ector County residents gather for courthouse open house. Following a delay caused by Winter Storm Fern last week, Ector County officials successfully hosted the rescheduled courthouse open house Tuesday evening at the county annex. A diverse cross-section of Ector County residents, local stakeholders, and community advocates gathered from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. to get a first-hand look at the future of downtown Odessa. The event served as a major milestone for the Ector County Courthouse project, offering a transparent look at the upcoming changes to the city's civic landscape. Evening highlights. Interactive station tour. Attendees moved through several stations detailing different facets of the project, including the new courthouse, a civic park, a parking garage, and updated library facilities. Direct engagement. Project representatives and county officials were available to answer one-on-one questions, providing clarity on design, accessibility, and the construction timeline. Bilingual outreach. To ensure the entire community remained informed, Spanish-speaking representatives were on site to assist residents and gather feedback. The new Ector County Courthouse Complex is a long-term investment designed to improve access to justice, enhance public safety, and support the evolving needs of Ector County. The project brings together judicial services, public spaces, and supporting infrastructure in a thoughtfully planned downtown setting, creating a more efficient, accessible, and welcoming environment for residents, county staff, and visitors.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.